world's so set on tearing itself apart, don't seem like such a bad thing to me to want to put a little bit of it back together. Hello and welcome to another edition of the Narrative First Podcast, the weekly podcast where story is always king. I am your host, Jim Hull, the voice of Narrative First, and this is episode number 28, Finding Inspiration for NaNoWriMo Within a Great Story. Welcome back, everyone, to another exciting week of story structure and story analysis. This week, we will be taking a look at how you can use Dramatica story forms to build a brand new story. If you see a film or you read a novel and you're really inspired by the meaning of the story, you can actually take the story form and use that to create something completely brand new. It'll have the same meaning, it'll have the same impact, same message, but you can encode it with all kinds of different storytelling that'll be more appropriate for what it is that you feel with inside you. First up, a little bit of follow-up. This week was our Dramatica Users Group meeting, and what we do is we take a film, usually one that has a great story to it, and we watch it for the first 2 hours, and then we go through and analyze it using Dramatica. And we'll first pick out the four through lines that make up the story, work our way through the character dynamics and the plot dynamics, and then figure out the thematics by going through the different through lines and trying to find out where the domain, concern, issue, and problem for each through line lies within Dramatica's model of the story mind. This week we did Spotlight, which won the Oscar last year for Best Picture. It was interesting because when I watched it, because I also run the Discuss Dramatica board, which is where you can go and ask all the different questions you have about the Dramatica theory of story. I remember back in March or April, somebody had mentioned that they didn't think that there was a reliable main character, or that there was a singular main character. They weren't sure who it was, and I could tell that there was some kind of debate between who the main character and who the influence character was. And I had heard murmurs that it was kind of, you know, confusing whether or not there was actually a story form. So going into it, I didn't think there would be a story form. And as I was watching it, I got the feeling that I wasn't really very emotionally attached to what was going on screen. And part of that lies in the fact that the main character through line is dialed down quite a bit. And I actually didn't think we were going to be able to find a story form. But what happened is we found something really interesting that, you know, part of the meaning of Spotlight, part of the message is that everybody didn't feel like they were part of the problem. So if you think of Michael Keaton's character as the main character, you know, I thought for sure that he was not a good candidate for main character because he knows something that we don't know. And that's usually a really good sign that that's not the main character, because the main character is the I perspective. It's, you know, who we are in the story. You know, I always use the example of The Shawshank Redemption because everybody thinks Andy is the main character, but the story form works best when you have Red, which is the Morgan Freeman character, as the main character, and Andy as the protagonist. And there's lots of cues in the film, lots of point of view shots that are directly from Red's point of view, and of course Andy is doing something that we have no clue about. But as Chris pointed out, it's more about the reality of the story, what it's actually playing out to you over, not over time, it's not how it's doled out to you over time, but kind of the author's intent, like who do they want the main character to be, regardless of what kind of information they spill out to you. And actually, the fact that we don't know gives us that first-person feeling of what it would feel like to kind of be blind to the fact that we are part of the problem. And so the fact that they held back that information and then revealed it, we actually get to experience how Michael Keaton's character, Robbie, actually felt, which I thought was brilliant. I thought it was really, really great. So that actually added to the meaning of the story, the fact that you didn't even know who that was. Personally, I would try and make it so that whatever your main character does and knows is something that the audience knows and it actually experiences, unless that is part of the meaning of the story, is that they get to be revealed at the same time as the character does. Another interesting thing was, if you remember back a couple months ago, I wrote an article redefining the positive feeling and negative feeling, the essence of dramatic tension within a story, and I defined it as overwhelmed or surmountable, meaning when you combine the main character's growth, which is either start or stop, with the story judgment, which is either good or bad, you can actually get a feel for the dramatic tension, the essence of it. And instead of positive or negative, because it's kind of weird that you would think of it with a negative or a positive feeling, you can either have the characters feel like they're overwhelmed or feel like the problems that they face are surmountable. So are the characters going after the problem or the problems going after the character? And I had felt that the film was very surmountable. It didn't feel like they were being dogged by the problems. It's not like the Catholic Church is sending Knight Templars after them or coming after them with all kinds of different things. What they're really doing is the characters themselves are going after the problem, and the problem itself is surmountable. It takes a while, but, you know, from the very beginning, it's, you know, with the Liev Schreiber character, it's not that difficult. I know it was a good ending, and so that would mean for a surmountable essence of dramatic tension, that would mean it's a start good story. But for some reason, I thought it was a stop story just because of where I thought the through lines were. So, and I had been wrong before, especially with Ex Machina, that I didn't want to use that. But as it turns out, I was actually right. So I guess sometimes that overwhelming or surmountable feeling actually works, and sometimes it doesn't work. But in this case, it did work. And then another point that I wrote down that I thought was really interesting too was the fact that in a steadfast story, it is not about the other's change, it is about the environment around the main character. So a lot of times people get really clever and they get really excited once they really get into Dramatica because they figure, well, listen, the main character is a start character, that means the influence character is a stop character, and if the main character is a steadfast character, that means the influence character is a change character, and they get really excited because they've figured it all out, how it all balances out. But the problem is the meaning of the story really has nothing to do with the influence character's change or their personal start or stop. Yes, it does turn out that way most of the time, just because it's balanced and everything is in there, but that's not the meaning of the story. The meaning of a steadfast main character is that the environment around the main character, including the influence character, is the thing that changes from the perspective of the main character. So you don't want to lose that aspect of the fact that, you know, the main character is the most important point of view that you want to take a look at. You can't just look to the influence character and hope that that'll help justify why the main character is the way that they are. So I found those points really interesting. The podcast will be up soon on the main Dramatica site for Spotlight, and then the story form as well. And then also the video analysis for the users group will be up on YouTube probably within the next week. The only other bit of follow-up I wanted to go over was in a story meeting this week, it was interesting how the subject of the main character's resolve came into play, and how some people in the group had felt that the character was changing because they were moving from passive to active, and so they were seeing that as a change. And when it comes to Dramatica's story point of resolve, it's not the character changing. And in some respects, what the terminology there, Dramatica would see that as growing. That would be somebody growing. But the resolve is a world view, almost like a belief. A belief system. And this character, I mean, it was clear to me that this character was not changing their world belief, but, you know, it was a matter of semantics that was causing a lot of the issues, and, you know, kept facilitating it and working it through until eventually everybody in the room came to an agreement. But it's really important that you understand when it comes to steadfast or change, as far as the main character's resolve, it's all about the worldview of that main character. You know, we were just talking about Spotlight and how Robbie was the steadfast character. His world belief system, you know, remained the same. He grew and came to realize that he was part of the problem. But his worldview, his perspective, that fixed attitude, that remained the same. And what happened was, you know, his friend Sullivan ended up changing and adopting Robbie's perspective, you know, when he circled the names. When you have that argument between the main character and influence character of a story, there are two different approaches to solving the problem at the center of the story. And the argument is over, you know, which one is more appropriate. And they're both belief systems. So both characters are going to grow. You know, both characters could go from being passive to active. One could go from being active to passive. How they grow and quote-unquote change over time isn't what the resolve is looking for. What it's looking for is the meaning of the story form, which is what this article is about this week. What that meaning is you're trying to argue, the author is arguing, okay, here are these two different approaches to solving a problem, two different worldviews, and one of them is going to change and adopt the others, and I'm going to tell you whether or not that was a success, like that was a good idea, and whether or not it was a good thing or a bad thing. And that's where the author argues what it is they're trying to get across. That's what Dramatica's whole system of the story mind is all about. It's trying to argue the appropriateness or inappropriateness of a particular approach. So when you look at the resolve, you want to look at their worldviews, you know, their belief systems, what they hold dear, and does that actually change? Or, you know, half stories, that perspective will change, like Luke Skywalker or, you know, Neo. Those perspectives will change, or Captain Fantastic, if you've seen that recently. But there's other stories where the main character remains steadfast in their beliefs. Braveheart, Hacksaw Ridge, which is another Mel Gibson film. Memento, Amadeus, How to Train Your Dragon, Kung Fu Panda 1. All those films have steadfast main characters at the heart of it. And those main characters, the nature of the tension in the story, everybody's telling them to change their nature, and they stay true to their beliefs. So when you're trying to figure out the resolve, and trying to identify, you know, whether or not that character changes, look where their belief systems are at the end of the narrative with where they are at the beginning, and you'll be able to determine whether or not that perspective has changed or has remained steadfast. So that does it for follow-up. And no analysis this week, but I'd like to get right into the article, Finding Inspiration for NaNoWriMo Within a Great Story. So this week, continuing our series of articles on NaNoWriMo, which is National Novel Writing Month. It's funny because a bunch of clients have gone quiet, which is great, which means they're actually writing instead of asking me how story structure works. I'm sure in December they will come back, or January they will be wondering how everything turned out for their story. To continue our talk, you know, the first week we talked about how you can create a story from scratch using the Western gists. And then, I mean, you can use any kind of gist collection, but we use that gist collection for that first one. And then brainstorming a brand new genre for NaNoWriMo last week when we combined the teen sex genre with fantasy or sword and sorcery. So this week I wanted to show how you can use an existing story form to create your own story. It's already mid-November, so if you're just starting, you have 25,000 words to catch up on. But, you know, assuming you're listening to this next year or just whenever you want to and you don't feel like you have the pressure of reading the deadline or meeting the deadline for the 50,000 words for the end of November, you can actually take an existing story form and make it your own. So if you see a film or you read a novel and you feel really inspired by it and you just love the message in it and you would love to say the same thing, but, you know, tell it a different way, put it in a different setting, set it in a different genre, a different time period, you can totally do that. And it's not plagiarism, it's not copying, and it's not writing by numbers, because all you're copying is the message, the meaning of it. The particular way in which it's doled out will be unique to you as an artist. The trick, though, is not to get too tied up in the details of it, especially if you're using Dramatica's gist function. So if you don't know about the gist, this is only for a Dramatica Story Expert, which is only available on the Mac version of Dramatica. But what the gists do is they bridge the space between story structure, which is Dramatica's very strict, very accurate terminology, and storytelling, which is actually what a novelist or an author actually puts out there for people to read. So instead of story points like cause and effect, writers would find inciting an argument and having negative repercussions. So inciting an argument is a replacement for cause, and having negative repercussions is a replacement for effect. And already you can see how, well, my main character has a problem of cause. What does that mean? But if you have a main character who has a problem of inciting an argument, suddenly you understand, you start to develop ideas for how he got to that point where he's always driven to incite an argument. You know, if he had argumentative parents, or, you know, was in a strict school that always, you know, placed an emphasis on arguing all the time, or starting an argument, that would be how you could create a character that has a problem of cause and actually have a springboard for your creativity. Another replacement, you know, non-accurate and accurate, which are also kind of obtuse terminology, you would find perhaps being vague or tolerating harsh work conditions. So non-accurate is the same thing as being vague, and tolerating harsh work conditions is the same thing as accurate. So again, if you had, you know, an overall story of non-accurate, you wouldn't know, okay, all my characters are non-accurate? No, all my characters have problems with being vague. So just vague recollections of what happens, vague ideas of what it is they want to do, and that creates problems. But then perhaps the solution would be accurate, which would be tolerating harsh work conditions. So instead of being vague, they finally figure out a way to tolerate harsh work conditions, and suddenly they resolve their problem. It's just an easier way of dealing with, you know, the structure that Dramatica presents to you. It's an easier and more creative way to deal with it, especially for writers who have a hard time with the terminology. Now, as powerful and productive as those terms are, their overuse tends to limit and stifle the writer's personal voice. So you have to figure out a way to kind of balance them. And the way to understand how to balance them first is to first understand the model of the story mind that Dramatica presents. So right now, our gist collections, which we have several different genres that we've been putting out throughout 2016, about 100,000 new random gists that you can use within Dramatica, we've limited that to the top two levels, which is the domains and the concerns. The next two levels, the issue and the problems, are untouched. So the Dramatica theory of story sees a fully functional narrative as an analogy to a single human mind trying to solve a problem, or what Dramatica calls a story mind. And if you look in the show notes to the article this week, you'll see a model, if you haven't seen it yet, of Dramatica's table of story elements. It's four towers, and each of those is divided up into four levels. Domains, which is the class level, those are at the top, they take the widest look at the kind of inequity that sits at the center of a story. So if you think of each of those towers as a microscope, or a telescope, depending on your preference, the domain, the top level, is the widest angle. And then when you go down to the problem or the element level, that's the narrowest angle on the inequity. So why would you leave the bottom two levels untouched when it comes to gist creation? The closer you are to the bottom of the model, the closer you are to accurately identifying the exact source of trouble in a story. So the more clearly defined that exact source of trouble becomes, the more constrictive and prescriptive the gist. So what was once a platform for unbridled creativity and imagination now becomes a set of manacles tying the writer to an application's random number generator. So at first it was mainly for time. I limited it to domain and concern, but as I started to experiment with going down to the issue and problem, I don't think it's actually going to be helpful. For instance, suppose you spun Dramatica's story engine with our brand new narrative first war genre gist collection. You would get a main character through line with various different story points that apply to war. You could have a domain of being avaricious towards the ensign, a concern of pretending to be a lieutenant, problem of causing a war, hatching ideas about Hanoi could be the first signpost, posing as the Air Forces would be signpost 2, figuring out how the inflatable boat works would be signpost 3, and converging with the captain could possibly be signpost 4. And this is just a random story form that I just generated for the article this week. But as you'll see, those are the only ones that actually have gists that are geared towards war. The other ones are part of the standard collection that Dramatica ships with, which is a collection of about 12,000 different gists that really aren't tied to any kind of genre, but they expand upon Dramatica's original terminology. I just found it was really interesting, just with those four signposts, you know, with Act 1 having this character hatching ideas about Hanoi, and then in the second act he poses as a member of the Air Force, and then has to figure out how an inflatable boat works, and then in four, and the final, the third act, he's converging with the captain. I just found that really a fascinating kind of story, and it feels like it's a complete dramatic movement, which speaks a lot about Dramatica's ability to give authors a complete story, or give them a structure for their complete story. So as you increase or decrease magnification, as you move up and down those towers, the inequity shifts from looking like more like character to more like genre. So in fact, each level carries with it an aspect of the story mind more commonly known as either character, plot, theme, or genre. So when you're at the highest level, you're looking at genre. The next level of magnification down, you're looking at plot. The next level of magnification is theme. And at the very narrow, the very bottom, you're looking at character. So with Dramatica's gist suggesting concrete examples of storytelling for genre and plot, the writer maintains freedom underneath to explore the personal aspects of narrative, like theme and character. So theme and character are still open, but the genre and plot, and Dramatica sees genre kind of as the personality of the story, those may be more prescriptive, but the character and theme are still open for interpretation. If you were to reverse that trend and make the bottom the more prescriptive or more demanding gist, or more demanding as far as gist go, the writer would feel rooted and constricted by the demands of its foundation, leaving little room for it to sway and bend towards the top. So you get a very narrow sense of creativity. And then when I went in and I gave an example of what it would be like if you actually had war gists all the way throughout the entire through line. And it gives you absolutely no room to create. You know, in the example, the domain and concern of being avaricious towards the ensign and pretending to be a lieutenant still gives room to play when you have a problem of causing a war and a solution of exploring the after effects of something. So what you could do is you could have one possible main character could be greedy towards a rich ensign, which leads him to be a lieutenant to compensate, but be driven by self-destruction by causing class warfare, only to find relief in exploring the after effects of an after-school program for underprivileged kids. But you could do another main character who's just as greedy towards a rich ensign, which then leads him to pretend to be a lieutenant to compensate, but then be driven to self-destruction because of his need to instigate violent conflict with those around him, only to find relief in exploring the after effects of combat on innocent villagers and the battlegrounds that used to be their neighborhoods. So the same domain and concern, same basic personality and overall plot, but completely different instances of character at the root of it all. The first main character is driven by class warfare, the second by a deep-rooted violent nature. Dramatica leaves the writer free to expand upon the most intimate parts of a through line when the bottom of the structure is open to interpretation. And then in the other example where I go down and show how, you know, you can give gist all the way down to the problem and solution, all the way down to the character level, you find a character that has no room for growth, no breathing room to try different kinds of characters. You know, you'll have a domain and concern of believing one is inferior to a team leader and adoring the Green Berets, and a problem of doing what a sniper should do, and a solution of embracing immediate benefits from the front lines despite winding up in Leavenworth. So it's kind of hard to find examples of different characters who find their deepest baggage stemming from doing what snipers should do, and personal relief in embracing immediate benefits despite winding up in federal prison. That pretty much defines the same exact character. There's some wiggle room that you can move around in, but the range narrows so much that, you know, basically you're just going to end up writing the same story. The problem with narrowing the playing field with too many gist shows up when taking the story form for a successful story and trying to modify it to tell your own version. So last week we did an analysis of Mel Gibson's latest film, Hacksaw Ridge. With the world so set on tearing itself apart, don't seem like such a bad thing to me to want to put a little bit of it back together. Which has a very clear story form, very inspirational message, and probably, you know, there might be somebody out there who watches it and feels like, well, that's a great story, I wish I could tell the same kind of story, but in a different setting. So I went through and applied gist to the main character through line, to Desmond Doss character, based on the story form that I found for the film last week. And I went through and, you know, gave gist all the way through for all 14 story points within the through line. But you can see how when you do gist for the entire character, it limits exactly what you can do, the kind of breathing room you have to create your own story. If you were to just keep the domain in concern, so Desmond's character has a domain of being a pacifist in wartime and a concern of living a future full of regret. If you were to keep those but distill the problem and solution back down to the original story elements of help and hinder, you would have a lot of leeway to create whatever kind of character that you would like. You could tell the story of a draft dodger during the Vietnam era, a space freighter during the Great Galactic Wars, or the son of a teamster during the early 1950s. Each can be seen as being driven by wanting to help, or wanting to help someone. But if you keep the problem and solution of helping wounded soldiers stay alive, and the solution of being a nuisance to the army, you would destroy any possibility of creativity there. What once opened up the possibility of inspiring different audiences attracted to 1950s labor unions, or 1960s anti-war efforts, or even science fiction fans, now reduces this potentially moving story to only those attracted to war dramas. So here you have an example of what happens if you actually do gist all the way up and down for problem and solution. I mean, I even have the issue in here. You know, in the original story form, it's preconception versus openness. Here it's following one's religious beliefs versus willingness to compromise. Okay, preconception can be all kinds of preconceptions. You know, preconceptions about the person themselves, or different belief systems or prejudices they have. As you get smaller and smaller and closer to the problem, and you define that problem, you constrict yourself and you force yourself into telling kind of the same exact story. So an issue of following one's religious beliefs kind of narrows it down a lot more than just having an issue of preconception. But maintaining the domain and concern helps you create, you know, the same type of character, the same feeling of it, the same message. So, you know, if you like that idea of a pacifist in wartime who's concerned with the future, you could go to any kind of setting in any kind of genre there. So once you find a story form that speaks to you, you can express it in many different ways. While dramatic is just feature makes it easier for writers to understand the elements at play within the story form, an overabundance of these storytelling helpers locks the writer into telling the same exact story. By reducing the story points further down the model to their essential natures, writers can take that initial spark of inspiration and corral it to help guide and structure their own versions of the same story. While there exists several incarnations of a single story form, the meaning for that story, that message that inspires and motivates one to relay it to others, stands alone. One story form, one meaning. GIST help open up the avenues of creativity for the writer, yet lock the artist down when abused. When finding inspiration in the works of others to help define your own message, first identify the story form that sits at the heart of it all, while keeping the general sense of the conflict encoded within the specific storytelling. Leaving room at the bottom grants creative space for the writer to expand and express their own personal take on a message that speaks to them. In this way, the author balances meaning with expression, creating a narrative unique and special and unlike any other. That's it for this week's podcast. If you have any questions about what we talked about today, please feel free to visit narrativefirst.com/contact, and we will get back to you as soon as we can. Have a great week of writing, and we will see you next time.